So let's kick off NSTI 2016 with a talk on software-defined exchange points, which we believe are now ready for production networks. But before I talk about software-defined exchange point, let me briefly talk about what exchange points are. So when we say exchange point, there are these participants who bring in their border router and connect to the switching fabric and exchange traffic with each other. They can either have BGP sessions directly with each other, or they can use a route server to exchange BGP routes with the other participants. So with respect to this traditional model of exchange point, what we proposed a few years back, SIGCOM 2014, was let's replace this traditional traditional layer 2 switch with an STN switch, and let's replace this route server with an STX controller. So now this route server, or say the STX controller, subsumes the behavior of route server. So it is not only receiving BGP updates from the participants, but it is also receiving STN policies from these participants. And then it combines all these policies together and then pushes down in the data plane. So when we first proposed software-defined exchange point, it resonated well with a lot of ISP operators. And we started with a journey of trying to deploy STX in the production networks. But from our experience, we learned that there are a lot of fundamental problems that need to be resolved before we can consider STX to be production ready. Among all the challenges we face, we faced that the data plane scalability is the most intimidating challenge. And without addressing this challenge, we cannot build an STX that is ready for production networks. So that is going to be the focus of my talk today. When we talk about data plane scalability, there are two kinds of devices in the network. One is the STN switch for the exchange point. It supports these flexible match action operations in the data plane, but it has a limited data plane state, and it also has a limited update rate. And when we talk about these STN policies which interact and are congruent BGP at the exchange point, we require both a very large data plane state, and we also require support for a very large number of update rates or flow mods per second. So to address this scalability challenge, we can use the other device we have in the data plane, that is the participant's border router. So these participants' border router have a very large TCAM space, which we can leverage, but they have very limited, they support very limited operations in the data plane. So problem of scaling the STX performance or STX at the exchange point basically boils down to a classic systems problem in which we have different kind of components in the system with disparate capabilities and limitations, and our goal is to optimize their usage so that we can scale the performance. So in this talk, I'll refer to this simple example to give you a better sense of what this nature of scalability challenges are and how we address those scalability challenges. Here we have like five participants. A and B are the ones sending traffic to the three other participants, C, D, and E. A and B express STN policies. Say, for example, A expresses that it wants to send traffic belonging to port 443 and 22 to C, and this STN policy is going to override the default BGP behavior or the default BGP policy which A had, right? So once these participants express their STN policies, they're going to send these policies to the STX controller, and it will combine these policies and push them down in the data plane. So in the data plane, the number of forwarding table entries required for these STN policies is like 3 in this case, because these policies were very simple in nature, so each of these policies just required one forwarding table entry, right? So far, so good. Let's try to use this goal tracker, in which we'll try to keep track of like how close are we to our goal to make sure that this STX is usable with a commodity hardware switch, right? So in this simple baseline example, the number of forwarding table entries required is like 3. To get a better sense of like how these numbers map to real world scenarios, what I'll also present is the results from the analysis which we ran using the BGP data from a very large exchange point. So we got the data set from a large exchange point in Europe, and it provided us with the BGP updates and RIB information for more than 511 participants, or more than 500 participants at the exchange point. So we created a policy model and generated these STN policies for the participants, and the number of forwarding table entries required for the participants at the exchange point was of the order of 62,000, right? So if you look at the number here, it does satisfy the design goal we had, because the design goal or the limitation we had was like, okay, we can support up to 100,000 forwarding table entries in the data plane. And when I say 100,000, it is basically a very high-end STN switch which can support up to 100,000. Usually when we talk about the smaller devices, they can't even support 10,000 or 20,000. This is a very high-end STN switch which can support 100,000. And when we require, when we come up with a solution which requires like 62,000, we can say that it does satisfy the goal. But there is a catch here. And the catch is that these STN policies are actually incorrect, because they're not congruent with the BGP. And when I say they're not congruent with BGP, let me explain what I mean. So let's consider the scenario in which ASA expresses an STN policy. It says like all my HTTPS traffic should go to C. And C advertises two prefixes to A, right? But when there is a packet coming in with port 443, but a destination IP which belongs to a prefix which C never advertised to A, So A will apply its SDN policy and forward this to C. But because C never advertised this prefix, then it will basically either drop it or send it to some other place, basically, right? So it is a possibility that we might be creating a black hole if we apply A's policy without any kind of change. So like our goal is to make sure that this packet P is not forwarded to C. So we can make this happen by augmenting the SDN policy of A. The simple augmentation we can do here is that before forwarding to participant C, we can match on all the prefixes which C advertised to A. So this is simple. This can make sure that the SDN policies or the forwarding table entries which we have in the data plane are congruent with BGP. But it comes at a cost. And the cost is basically the data plane space explosion. So now as you can see that when we match on all the prefixes which the other participant advertise, then it requires a lot of forwarding table entries. You need to match on each prefix for each policy which the participant expressed. So the number of forwarding table entries, which were initially 3, now explodes to 7. But this is a simple example, right? But when we map it to the data set which we had from the large exchange point, the number of forwarding table entries that were required was 68 million. And there's no way we can build a data plane that can support these many or these millions of forwarding table entries, right? So we thought about like how we can address this problem, and this part of the solution was from our previous iteration of SDX, that we can actually leverage this concept of forwarding equivalence classes. That is, we can, like network operators don't usually define policies for individual prefixes at a time. They usually define policies for group of prefixes, right? So if you notice here, the 10/8 and 40/8, they exhibit similar forwarding behavior. That is, both these prefixes are forwarded to C, forwarded to D, and notice that 80/8 is not showing the same similar forwarding behavior. So this does exist. We identified this does exist in the data plane in the SDX, and we can leverage this. And we can actually use the other device we have in the data plane to solve the scalability problem. The way we can do it is that we can assign a single next hop for all the prefixes that belong or that exhibit similar forwarding behavior. So when I say BGP next hop, I specifically talk about the destination MAC, the BGP next hop destination MAC or the layer 2 header. And you can use a combination of like BGP next hop IP advertisements and R protocol to map prefixes to the next hop MAC addresses, right? So in this case, when we see that 10/8 and 40/8 exhibit similar forwarding behavior, then we assign same one BGP next hop for both these prefixes. Now when the traffic comes in for these prefixes, we match on the BGP next hop rather than actual prefix. And that helps us to reduce the number of forwarding table entries. So in the simple example, we are actually able to bring it down from 7 to 4. But when we map it to the data we got from the large exchange point, it actually is 21 million. And this is how far we were able to reach in the previous iteration of SDX, though, of course, we didn't run the experiment with the large exchange point and we didn't have a very extensive set of SDN policy model. But the number 21 million is like really huge. Even though we are able to bring it down from 68 million to 21 million, it can be big, but it is not good enough. We still cannot fit this kind of SDX in a commodity hardware switch, right? So it forces us to think like if we want to have an SDX in practice, we should come up with a better approach or a better solution. So we thought like maybe we should think of making this FEC computation or forwarding equivalence class computation more efficient. And if you notice here, if participant B was doing FEC computation on its own, then it would have tagged these 3 prefixes together because they exhibit similar forwarding behavior if you just consider ASB in the network, right? So generalizing this observation, what we observed is that because we are doing this forwarding equivalence class computation for all the participants together, and all the participants have diverse set of policies, then we end up with a lot of forwarding equivalence classes with smaller number of prefix in each group, right? So the solution to this problem is that we should actually be computing forwarding equivalence classes for each of these participants independently. So what it will result in is like now each participant will only perform this FEC computation for the SDN policies it expresses. So it will result in small number of FECs with large number of prefixes in each group, right? And also notice that because now we are partitioning this computation across participants, it also enables us to scale out the control plane computations. So in practice, when we apply this FEC or partitioning of FEC computation across participants, logically the STX controller is performing this computation for each of the participant independently. So in this case, when you see like it will perform the computation for ASA separately, ASB separately, and now ASB will be able to group together all these three prefixes together. So it helps us to bring down the number of forwarding table entries, right? So we go back to the goal tracker and see that, okay, in this simple example, it helps us to bring the number of forwarding table entries from 4 to 3, which is very close to the baseline. But in the large exchange point case, we're able to bring it down significantly, but it is still 760,000. And 760,000 is way more than what a high-end STN or a commodity hardware switch can support. So it is still a problem for us. But it is not the only problem. The other problem is, as I initially pointed out, that there is a limitation of how many updates or flow mods per second can be supported in a commodity hardware switch. And this approach, even if all these optimizations, we are still requiring more than 15,000 flow mods per second. So it forces us to think more fundamentally, like, is there any way we can, first of all, like, what is the reason for this high update rate? And second, can we address this problem? So in the STX setup, we observed that there is an undesired coupling between BGP and STN that is going on. So notice in this example, if there's a BGP update coming in from ASD, and it says that I want to withdraw the route which I advertised previously for 10/8. So in this forwarding table which we have, the 1 becomes a 0, and that triggers recomputation of FECs of forwarding classes for ASP, right? And when it does this recomputation, it also has to update the data plane because the mapping of which prefix belongs to which next hop has changed. So our goal is that we want to decouple BGP from STN. And to achieve this, or in other words, I'll say that our goal is to make sure that the STN data plane is immune to the BGP dynamics, right? So what comes to our rescue here is that there was a, like, in recent year, there was this advance that the commodity hardware switches were able to support the feature of bit mask matching on layer 2 headers. And since we were using the BGP next hops, which were eventually the layer 2 headers, so we thought, like, maybe we can use this new feature to encode more information. So far our idea was that we will group, or we will map these group of prefixes which show the, or exhibit the similar forwarding behavior to, or like use it as a one field and map it into the destination MAC, right? But the new idea is, like, rather than mapping the information about group of prefixes, what if we map, or what if we encode the information about the participants itself, right? Or we call it the reachability bit mask. If we are able to encode the information about prefixes and make it independent of the BGP prefixes in the next hop, then we, like, whenever a BGP announcement is made, we don't require any changes in the data plane. So let me explain. I know that I didn't explain well what reachability bit mask is here. So let me use this example to explain what exactly it means. What we do in the data plane is that we will dedicate 1 bit per participant, right? So when I say 1 bit per participant, this bit is basically the destination MAC or the layer 2 of the BGP next hop. So the first bit is here, in this example, the first bit is representing participant C, and the second bit is representing participant D, right? So if 10/8 and 40/8, since they were advertised by ASC, so we will set the first bit as 1 for these two prefixes, and it didn't advertise 80/8, so we didn't, we set it as 0, right? Similarly, ASD advertised all three prefixes, so we will set the first, like, the second bit as 1 for all these three prefixes. So now when the traffic comes to the exchange point fabric, then we don't have to match on the prefixes or the prefix groups or forwarding influence classes. All we have to do is match, if we have a policy to forward to C, all we have to do is, like, match on the first bit itself. If the first bit is set to 1, then we can forward this traffic to C. Otherwise, we won't be able to forward it to C. Now, this ensures that the data plane is immune to BGP dynamics because we don't have anything to do with BGP prefixes in the data plane now. Whenever a BGP update is coming in, some advertisement is changing, then what we have to do is, like, change the BGP next hop mapping for the participant router, but we don't have to make any changes in the data plane. So now you might be wondering that, of course, there will be more than, 48 participants at the exchange point, given that we have 48 bits in the destination MAC, and, like, how can we fit the information about hundreds of participants at the exchange point into those 48 bits? So just to give you an intuition, because we are doing this computation for each participant independently, so they just have to worry about the participants for which they have an STN policy, right? That reduces the load of like, number of participants which we have to consider. But we also came up with a better algorithm to make sure that we can encode arbitrary number of participants into the limited bit space. I'll encourage you to read the paper for the details about that algorithm. So This approach of reachability bitmask encoding helps us to make sure that the SDN data plane is immune to BGP dynamics, but at the same time, it also helps us to reduce the number of forwarding table entries. Because now we don't have to match on prefixes, we don't have to match on group of prefixes, rather we just match on the bit pattern which represents a particular participant, right? So in this simple example, we just need one bit per participant, and the number of forwarding table entries required is like still three. But when we ran the same experiment with the large exchange point data set which we had, now the number of forwarding table entries that were required were of the order of 65,000. And since we made sure that the SDN data plane is immune to BGP dynamics, so whenever there is a BGP update coming in, and like we ran this experiment for the 2 hours of data from the exchange point, we require no data plane updates. Of course, you will require data plane update if the participant changes the SDN policy itself, but at least we were able to make sure that the data plane is immune to BGP dynamics. So I'll try to summarize the ISTX evaluation summary. So we were able to achieve the goal that now the data plane state is less than 100,000, which was our initial goal. And from the baseline of 62,000, which was incorrect, we were able to augment the policy and still require only 65,000 forwarding table entries. We were able to make sure that the update rate that is required in the data plane is less than 2,500, which is the limit for a high-end SDN switch. Also, we were able to achieve some of the side goals that we were able to process the BGP update burst in real time. That is, it was requiring time as less as 50 milliseconds. And we also were able to bring down the or reduce the load on the participating routers, because initially these participant routers were requiring or were required to maintain state for 25,000 BGP next hops. Now they just require around 360 BGP next hops. So just to summarize this, we've been trying hard to make sure this code is make available a running code of SDX for people to try out. We have a Vagrant and Docker-based setup which people can try SDX on their own laptop. We also provide instructions which IXP operators can use to test ISTX on their hardware switches. And we have been able to demonstrate that we can run this ISTX with a commodity hardware switch at line rate. Recently, we also made an announcement that SDX will be hosted by ONF's open source SDN. So now we will be hosted by the ONF's open source SDN website, and we will have a different mailing list in the community for that. So I can take the questions now.
So this is great, and it's great that you've been able to release ISDX for broader use. Can you comment on whether you've seen uptake, you know, who has started to use it, and what they're using it for, and where?
Right. So I think when we started, currently we are working with, when we started, we resonated well with a lot of IXP operators. So currently we are working with the government agency to set up an exchange point for inter-government agency.
Name the government network. Agency.
I think I'm not supposed to name that. I don't know. I don't know my rights right now. But apart from that, we are also working with we are also working with folks in Europe. They're trying to come up with a template of like what should be the next future generation of SDX deployments. And I think like our platform is the one which they're using as a prototype that, okay, this is how SDX should be deployed. And we will be working with some of the exchange point operators in future to kind of come out with the prototype deployments and then use that as a baseline to deploy more exchange points. We're also working with some IXP operators in Asia, specifically in Pakistan, to set up exchange points which are like software-defined exchange points. One of the things which SDX enables is like it provides more incentives to participants to kind of come to the exchange point and peer. So providing these additional services also make sure that there are sufficient incentives for developing regions where like exchange points are either not there or if the other people are not participating or peering at those exchange points.
Other questions? So I was also wondering, are there lessons here that are applicable beyond SDX? In general, can one think of what you're doing here as a general framework where to apply in a situation where there are multiple independent entities and you want some coordination in a general SDN context? Or are there lessons here that could be applied beyond SDXs?
Right, I think one of the general lesson which we learned is more about the scalability in sense. So the context of SDX was specific that we have two types of hardware devices and then we want to figure out like how do we use these devices to optimize the performance. But I think like in general, there are a lot of scalability challenges. So for example, in Princeton, we have this issue that we have an IPS box and we want to scale the performance of this IPS box. So we want to figure out like how we should be using the devices in the data plane. And I think like the principles which we develop for SDX can be applied in some sense to those kind of problems.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more question, actually.
Okay.
This is I found this very interesting. Not sure what's happening with my audience here. But your optimization's also focused on one switch in the data plane, right? Is there a particular reason why you're, why not a distributed switch where you could potentially spread rules out and that could give you additional axes for optimization?
So I think like we did consider having multiple switches, and it's a different kind of problem formulation. So this is one problem formulation which we considered, in which like we considered one single switch and figure out. So the nature of scalability solutions which we came up are also applicable to the case where we have like multiple exchange or multiple switches in which we can distribute the rules. The problem there is like then you have to manage the volume of traffic which goes from one switch to other. So if you distribute the rules onto multiple switches. So I think like there is a trade-off between the two approaches, and that for now we focus on this, but we are definitely open to the other kind of approach too.
Great. Okay, let's thank the speaker once again.
All right, thank you.